Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve, and with me today is...
Teresa.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. And today, as we continue kind of working through gospel scenes, we're coming... almost to the end. We've got this week's and then next week's, and then we're kind of done with that. We're not done, obviously, all of the gospel scenes. There's more that we can do.
Completely exhausted.
But we're gonna actually start looking at some Old Testament characters. And
yeah, I'm excited for that.
We can
actually
learn from some of them,
because I think now
fill in some gaps in maybe stories that people know or don't know.
I think it's interesting because, I mean, I learned a lot when I went to Sunday school, but how many of us spend time learning those stories of God's faithfulness, of what he has done, and the people that have come before us who were steadfast, or maybe they weren't, you know, like there's just so many. Like today, this is going to be silly to you. You're going to laugh at me a little bit.
Maybe.
Today, I work in a school currently, and it's a Christian school, and the one teacher in the grade three class that I work in is an amazing storyteller. And he does the book, he goes through the book of Genesis. We're in Exodus now. And he just has a gift. And he's teaching these kids all of these stories about God and Israel and the different prophets and all the different things that happen in the Old Testament. And I think it's wonderful. But today, I don't know why I didn't really, I mean, I guess I knew, but we're talking about Moses.
Yeah.
So it was when Moses was at the well, right? Mm-hmm. When he was in
Midian,
and it how he was 40. He was 40 when he got there, and then he spent another 40 years there before he went back to, like, the Israelites, and God used him to set them free.
Yeah.
I didn't actually cognitively think that he was 80 when he was doing all of that.
He's 120 when he died.
Yeah, I knew that, but I guess I didn't think of the time frame of his life.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So I'm excited about going through.
But it matches. It matches when God was frustrated and said, the days of you people will be numbered 120.
Yeah, that's right.
And even currently, go look it up.
Yeah.
Guinness Book of World Records, people approach 120, but very rarely does anybody get close. And I don't know when the last time we actually had somebody walking this earth that was older than 120 years old.
Goodness,
verified. I mean, there's some very elderly people in centuries past where they didn't actually know when they were born, kind of thing.
Like, no, that's true.
It's not like they had hospital records, but and Moses' life is 40.
Yeah, it makes sense to me now. And
40
I think
before his call, 40 to the
live, like we got married, had a family.
Yeah, but then 40 into the Exodus, and then 40 wandering the desert before they go into the Promised Land.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't get there. Okay, but
segue.
No, there's lots of those stories. So, I mean, I guess we're not doing Moses now. So,
well, that's just a tiny little speck into him. Like, it's pretty amazing what brought him there and then what he does after that.
He's got a pretty elaborately long 120-year story.
Yeah.
So, yes, true. today we're going to look at that kind of story arc that follows Peter. From the time at the start of before the crucifixion, when he says, I will never betray you, to the reinstatement afterwards with the resurrected Christ. And we'll kind of work through that. But first we're going to go to James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, if you can read that.
Yeah, for sure. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you.
Yeah, and oftentimes, right, the thing that trips us up is pride in our lives, right? I would never fall for that trick. I would never stumble that way. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't be like that. And really what we're saying is I'm better.
Yeah.
Right? And oftentimes it's that pride that kind of gets us. It's the things that we do and we say that actually will oftentimes trip us up.
Yeah,
you know, we'll be like, I would never, or I will always, yeah. right? We
do it both ways. One or the other way, yeah.
And sometimes it's really important for us to understand that we're in a battle that we are really ill-equipped for in our lives.
Yes.
So, and I didn't give you this one, but Ephesians chapter 6. I got it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 talks about the armor of God, right? That we would be able to put it on. I'm going to paraphrase it, that we'd be able to put on the armor of God to stand against the schemes of the devil, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? It's not us that gets to always say, I'm going to make this right, I'm going to do these things, and it's going to be okay. And then the reality is that we're battling against, there's a spiritual battle going on around us. So in Ephesians, it tells us, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you'd be able to withstand in the day of evil and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shoes for your feet, have the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And the whole deal there is that we equip ourselves that way.
Yep.
And then verse 18, praying in all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, right? We're supposed to be praying all the time. And this is what I like to point out to people. Everybody assumes that they're putting on the armor of God to go into battle.
Right.
Everything there is to keep you alive.
Absolutely.
Right? The belt was to hold it all together. The breastplate was to protect your heart. The helmet was to protect your mind. The shield was for the fiery arrows. The shoes is the gospel. Like, you should be moving with the gospel. And it's not until you get way to the very end of the list that you get to pick up a sword.
Yeah.
And by the way, the sword is the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
The sword of the Spirit, yeah, the Word of God. Right?
So it's the Holy Spirit that's actually doing the fighting.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Thankfully.
We are just trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Staying alive in faith by protecting ourselves with the truth of the Word, the strength of God, all of those things, right? So we're holding all of that stuff together in this spiritual battle.
We also talked about that this morning in grade 3, actually.
Well, that's
They're
good.
Memorizing grade, that
grade,
right now.
Grade 3 is apparently a very...
It's a place to go.
It's a very thing, very, very good place to be. But the enemy hates us.
Yes.
The enemy hates God, and he just wants to destroy us. So we need to remind ourselves that we have to humble ourselves and trust God and rest in his strength, right? Mm-hmm. All Important. Things that might have helped Peter in this next story.
Peter.
Let's go to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you said all the way to 19 on my
19.
Paper. Yeah. You will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This, he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this to him, he said, Follow me.
Yeah. So Peter, just so arrogantly confident, just a couple days before, Jesus says, You know what? You're going to deny me. I would never deny you.
How dare you say
that? You are going to deny me before the rooster crows three
times. I love you
times.
So much. I will never do that.
And then he denies him to a servant girl, a person by the fire, and then depending on which version of the Gospels you're reading, probably another servant girl.
A young child, something along those lines. Yeah.
arrogantly confident that he's going to do that. I think it's the Mark account has... Peter and Jesus meeting eyes in that moment. Mm. Maybe it's Luke. And there's just that remorse. And then Peter's gone.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I've totally failed. I'm out.
Yeah.
And so now we get to chapter 21 in John. And Jesus has been appearing and he's got some work to do with Peter, right? There's a reinstatement that comes, and Jesus asked Peter if he loves him, right? Mm. And in the original language, he works the word love, and this is why English is just inferior, particularly when it comes to the Bible, right? If you're reading Greek, there's four different kinds of love,
right?
And you know, there's the intimate erotic love, there's the brotherly love,
yeah.
So there's eros, there's Philadelphia. Philos love, which is why we get the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then there's agape, which is like duty.
Yeah.
We love, we follow kings and lords out of duty because we love them. And then there is the friendship one.
Yeah. I was trying to remember that one too. Anyway. I'm like, hold on, I don't.
The word has escaped me, but and I might have just done that. That might be the friendship. Might be the brotherly
I think
love.
Friendship is
anyway.
Agape
and philo love are used here. When Jesus is saying, "Do you love me?" He actually uses two different verbs, two different tenses, or two different meanings for it. And he's asking Jesus is asking Peter, "Are you committed to me? And are you close to me?" Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorge is the empathy bond. Yeah.
I don't remember that. That one's not as commonly used.
But we don't need those right now.
No.
There are four versions of how to say love in Greek.
Yes, there are.
Agape and philo are here. That's that commitment and that friendship. Are you committed to me? And are you going to remain close to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus is asking him. He's asking him, Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you said you were, and I knew you weren't.
Yeah.
And then you were brazen and brash, and you said, "I will never be not with you." And then you haven't been here for a few days. There's this reinstating.
Well, there's a bit of shame, I think, that's happening.
And
Peter.
And it's got to come back around the other way. Mm-hmm. But then he also says, "Feed my sheep."
Yeah.
The different word slips in there, and right, there's this idea that there's going to be a spiritual feeding. Peter is going to teach. He's going to lead the people. He's going to teach them. But then more than that, he's also going to train them in love, right? That mm-hmm. tending. He's going mm-hmm. to bring them through that. And Jesus is coming to Peter, and he's saying, "Look, you've fallen short, but we need to reestablish you."
Yeah.
So do you care for me, and are you staying close to me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you committed to doing the stuff that I'm calling you to?
Which Jesus knows, right? Because even it says in verse 18, right? Like, carry you where you do not want to go. So he knew that he knew everything that Peter was going to do for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But Peter didn't.
But Peter didn't.
Right?
So he needed that.
Yeah.
He needed that confirmation, and he needed that moment of, I need you to say it.
But if we back it up just a little bit and think about what Peter had just done in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest Jesus, mm-hmm. he was bold and brazen enough to whip out a sword and swing it at a dude's head.
But that's how he
lived.
Which
should have been death.
Yeah, it should have
been. Right? Because it's the Roman guards coming.
Yeah.
Jesus heals the ears. And then, that's shortly after Peter has told Jesus, like, "I'll never betray you."
Mm-hmm.
Like he off the start, he was there, but it was all about him. He was going to do it his way. Now Jesus is coming back, and he's reinstating Peter, saying, no, you're going to have to do it my way.
Well, and if Peter had never have had that moment and had to have that realization that what he is capable of, even though he never believed it of himself, I think he wouldn't have been ready to be what the church is built on. I mean, Jesus built the church on him.
Yeah.
On this man.
And who so loves him. And so often in this moment we go, and then Peter had it all figured out.
Yeah, but
we get verse 20, 21 good. And 22. Let's read those.
So Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me."
Yeah. I'm in a competition with John. Right? He was faster. He was first to the tomb.
Yeah.
He's the one that he keeps saying that you love him more. Peter, the one that is the rock that the church will be built on. We kind of got this.
They all have their roles.
Who's who's better?
Yeah.
Like, you just told me that you're going to carry me to the end of my days.
Yeah.
What about him? Yeah. What's he get?
Yeah.
And I love, and I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus tells him.
Yeah.
It's not your business.
Oh, no. It's just like what we say to the kids.
Yeah.
You worry about you.
You worry about you.
You think about what you are doing, and you don't think about anybody else.
But you know, Jesus just looks at him and says, yeah, that's not, you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah,
you
it
don't
does need sound, to think about it sounds this. Terse.
And in that moment, that's, I think, when Peter gets it finally, where he suddenly realizes, you know what? I need to be working through this in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Yeah, that's what I wrote down. Teresa's passing me a note asking me about the verses that she's about to read while I'm saying a sentence that I now don't remember what I was saying. I'm looking it up just to make sure.
But yeah, no, Peter, you know, Jesus does say to him, you follow me. You keep your eyes on me. You don't keep your eyes anywhere else. You're not looking to the left. You're not looking at what your brother's doing. Yep. You're just looking.
1 John 1:7-22. That's the next one.
Okay, then I'm confused.
Yep.
Because I have 1 John 1. It only goes to verse 9. So I was just confused. That's all. It's okay.
It must be a typo in the other book that I'm working it out of.
That's all right.
Well, no.
I can't actually just...
Yeah, so Jesus looks at Peter and says, this isn't your business.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
It's not for you to figure out. And that's where Peter kind of understands what is going on with his life.
Right.
And commits to following God, to following Jesus, and to making sure that he is the one taking care of what he can take care of.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think that keep your eyes on me and nowhere else. Right? Don't be looking left. Don't be looking right. Don't look behind you. Don't be looking ahead of you. You look at me. Right? You look at me because you are the one. You follow me. And I think that's a good reminder actually for all of us. Right? How often do we look around at other people and think, okay, well, you know, I'm better than him, or what's so special about him? And God is using him in all of these different ways. And so I think it's a good reminder that we keep our eyes on Jesus too. We don't look at our brother, or we don't look at, you know, other churches, or you know, other family, whatever it is that you're looking at and taking, that causes you to take your eyes off Jesus and question, and maybe you cause you to think of yourself more, right? I mean, even Philippians 2, don't think of yourselves.
Yeah, let's go to 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 to 2 verse 2.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read that whole thing though? Do you, all at one time? 2 verse 2. Okay.
1 verse 7 to 2 verse 2.
I see. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
And this is where Peter finally gets it, right?
Yeah.
Now he understands it went off the rails, not because Jesus wasn't doing the right thing. It went off the rails because Peter wasn't doing the right thing.
Right.
It went off the rails because Peter was worried about other stuff.
Right.
Right? So just like when he asks, what about John?
Yeah.
No, it's about you, Peter.
I'm sure he loved John as a brother. Like, I'm sure that they deeply loved each other, but there was still this instinctual, I have to be better.
They just had a competition going on, which...
It's just so clear through the Gospels.
That's clear that they loved each other like brothers. They competed.
Yeah, I guess. Right?
So this walking in the light idea that John writes now later on in 1 John... That's how we prevent ourselves from sinning. We stay close to Jesus. We keep our eyes fixated on Jesus. We let the Word of God permeate our lives, and we make our decisions and our choices based on the Word of God, right? Failures will happen, but then that's where we come to the end. The little children, if you do sin, go back to Jesus.
Yeah, he's repent, your advocate. He's right? fighting for you.
Repent yeah. and return, because, and there's the $10 theological word in there, propitiation.
I know, you can tell. There's only a couple versions, actually, that have that word yeah. in it.
And it's the or one, the words, word. The word that is there comes up a few different ways, but it's sacrifice, it's atonement, it's a few different places. You can find it in Romans Take chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 2, 1 John 2 here, and 1 John 4. It's the only places in the Bible that that word comes, but it's the turning away of wrath by an offering to appease mm-hmm. or to the atoning sacrifice, the reconciling work, right? This is what Jesus does for us. When we fail, when we screw up, when we make mistakes, we're not supposed to do what Peter did, run away. We're supposed to actually run to Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, yes, it's obviously, on the night that Jesus is being tortured, railroaded,
well, he had nowhere to go.
Crooked trial. You know, you run to Jesus that night, you're going to be on the cross with him. So in God's providence, Peter runs. Because later mm-hmm. on, Peter is going to establish the church mm-hmm. because he doesn't ever run away from the call of Christ again, right?
Yeah.
And that's where he stays. Okay, we got one more kind of semi-longer one. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither should you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'"
Yeah. There's a bunch of things to unpack here.
Oh, yeah.
But the biggest one is, there's two.
Okay.
First, how did they get into trouble?
Okay.
Well, Eve didn't hold fast to what God had actually said, right? The serpent twisted it, said, "Did God actually say?" And then Eve replies with not quite truth. It's sort of true, but not. Well, there's a little bit extra.
"You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it." So
it's the "neither shall you touch it."
God didn't say that?
No.
Interesting.
Right? So there's a switch. So now all of a sudden, who's become the center of the truth, right? Eve has, because she's adjusted it mm-hmm. because of the question by the serpent, mm-hmm. right? They're not supposed to eat of it. So now we end up with this, and Adam didn't correct. He would have been...
He was right there with her, because it says he was right there with her.
As they eat, right? That's like, it's an arm length away. So I'm assuming he was hearing that whole conversation. So you realize right away that the sin in the garden happens because they take their eyes off of the author and perfecter of faith, mm-hmm. and they put it on themselves. And then what did they try to do? Hide from the sovereign almighty God.
Who knows everything and is everywhere.
Who in his gracious kindness to them says, "Where are you?"
Yeah.
Well, he knew. He knew where they were.
Of course he did.
He had the entire earth to wander about to find them. And he came to the exact spot where they were and said, where are you? Right? And God knows what we're going through, right? He wants Adam and Eve in this moment, as he comes to them, to respond and to return to him, just mm-hmm. like we just talked about, right? When we fail, we're called to run back to Jesus, because he's the one that is going to make us right again. And here again, you see right off the bat, there's only two people in the world, and God just wants them to come to him, mm-hmm. but they hide. Mm-hmm. And so the whole rest of that chapter is about reinstating them, sitting down, having hard conversations. Here are the curses that are coming, but here are the blessings that are going to come out of this. Here are the, and God reinstates that relationship right from the beginning. That's what God wants, is to bring us into relationship and to maintain that, to work through all of the things that are going on. But he wants us to hold fast to him first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to not let that slip.
Right.
And that's the encouragement, is as we walk out faith, is are you keeping your fixating your focus on God?
Hmm.
Like, are you soaking in the word? Are you involved in church? Are you, meeting with other believers to worship? Are you going through all of those processes where you're immersing yourself in understanding what God is actually trying to teach us,
mm-hmm.
so that when you stumble and fall, you know the way back to him?
Yeah.
You don't get sidetracked because you're off doing your own thing. So my encouragement is to do that, to hold fast to that. I used to tell youth all the time, okay, you messed up, you stumbled, you fell, you sinned, whatever, however you want to describe it.
Mm.
You pick yourself up,
mm-hmm.
you dust yourself off, you return to Jesus, and you repent. You ask for forgiveness. And then you move on, and you continue on. Peter's denials didn't shock Jesus. He knew they were going to happen. But he wanted Peter to come back to him in a different way.
Right.
Right? Not that whole reinstatement deal. He wants us to come back.
Well, and fully.
Fully, like, on our own.
Hearts. Whole hearts.
Yeah. Which is the thing. So God is always thinking in those relational terms. He wants us to be in relationship with him.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day, and I hope you can join us next time.
Till next time, and just remember, if you are making a Bible study and you follow through and write other people's typos down, they follow your way through.
Oh.
That's what we were trying to figure out.
I know, sorry about that.
No, it's fine. 1 John chapter 1 to 7, or chapter 1 verse 7 to 22, but it should have been chapter 1 verse 7 to chapter 2 verse 2, which is where we're there.
Oh,
so
we
all learn things every
day. There's typos. I mean, no editor is perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a great day, guys.
Till next time.